Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where we coach owners of cleaning companies on anything and everything related to building and growing cleaning companies. If that's you and you are committed to growing your cleaning company, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Get everything you need to create the cleaning company you've always wanted. If you want to be a guest on the show, you can email and reach out to our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or give us a call at 480-648-5149. You can apply to be on the show, ask a question, get some feedback. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Kishwar Smith from Immaculate Cleaning Concepts Cleaning. Immaculate serves the Detroit metro area with both residential and commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Kishwar, you can get a hold of her at immaculate.concepts.clean@gmail.com. Kishwar, welcome to Cleaning Nation.
Thank you so much. How are you today?
I'm just happy that the part where I have to say your name and not screw it up is over. Did I do all right? Did I hit it?
You did perfectly.
You got too many consonants awesome. In there for my little brain to spit out. I'm just glad we got through. All right, sister, tell us a little bit about Immaculate and how you got into the business and what's shaking it over in your world.
Okay, well, it's a beautiful weather here. Now, how I got started is that I come from a long line of housekeepers. My great-grandmother started off as a housekeeper back in the 40s and the 50s. My grandmother, she also did some commercial cleaning, and I actually started cleaning commercially with my grandmother. She was working at a law firm. So I would help her on the weekends, you know, do the kitchens and the conference rooms, the bathrooms and that type of thing. So it's just something that I was brought up to do. Later on, my mom actually started a janitorial service. And she, of course, hired me. I was her first employee. And so they just kept on going through the years. So I've been pretty much cleaning since I was about 10 years old. And it's just something that I enjoy doing. I find a lot of peace and immediate gratification out of cleaning. So it's just something that it was like a no-brainer when I decided that I wanted to step out on my own and start to, you know, become an entrepreneur. That was the first thing that came to mind. Like, okay, what's the easiest business to start? Cleaning. You know, everybody needs cleaning. So, and I started my own cleaning service. Actually, people have been hiring me to clean since about 2009. Once I started picking up business, I said, you know what, I need to register my name. So I went through that whole process of registering my business name and did all those legal, you know, things or what have you, and became a business of my own. I also I researched and I was like, okay, well, I need some clients. So I went on online and I researched a company. I don't know if I can name them, but I just said that I researched a company that I was able to pay per lead. And I got a few leads in that I paid for, and those end up turning into, you know, several month long clients, you know, recurring clients. Actually, one client that I got it was a post-construction cleanup. They had just built the house. I helped clean up, you know, all of the dust and things like that and got their home to where they were move-in ready. And they decided to keep me on. And I was with them for approximately 3 years. So now, here I am now.
That's a great story. And I love, because I'm not a huge fan of construction cleanup, but I do like, if you're going to do it, if you've got the opportunity to kind of keep that account after the construction cleanup on a weekly basis or monthly basis or, you know, whatever kind of frequency they're looking for, that that changes the dimension, kind of makes it a better opportunity. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing. You're in the Detroit area. I'll tell you, for everyone in the rest of the country, we hear so much stuff about Detroit and how it's terrible and it's getting better. What's the ears on the ground, sister? What's it really like in Detroit these days?
Okay, the climate here right now is actually how would I say, we're in a big turnaround or like a polar shift right now. Okay, you hear all of these really bad stories or what have you, but on that's only a very minuscule representation of what Detroit in the metro area actually is. We're going through a process of revitalization. We're going through actually like a second renaissance, as you will. You know, our downtown and riverfront area is gorgeous. We have some of the best, and me being a house cleaner, you know, residential cleaner. I happen to be also a what do you call that? I'm kind of like I love architecture. I'll just put it like that, an architecture buff. We have some of the most beautiful architecture in the whole United States and sometimes the world. We have a beautiful and vital civic area and a cultural center. And, you know, things are just really turning around. And I really enjoy being here.
All right, you're going to have to send me a picture of your favorite Detroit piece of architecture. We'll put it in the show notes page so everyone can kind of get to know, you know, your love for buildings and see, and we'll let everyone make comments, see if they like it or disagree.
Oh, absolutely. I found one to you and send it to you today.
Had a girl. I'll make sure Natalie gets that bad boy up there. That's awesome. All right. Well, tell me a little bit. I'm sure as much as I'm enjoying chatting with you, I'm assuming you called not to talk about Detroit and not to talk about architecture, but how to grow your cleaning company. So let's jump in, sister. What can I do to serve you today?
Okay. Well, my main question is, I've done basically residential with my own business. See, my mom, she was straight commercial. Now, when it comes to my business, when I do residential, every resident is not going to be able to be charged, you know, the same kind of way. You kind of have to make little adjustments, considered, you know, just to consider their circumstances. You can have someone with a very small area that is completely messy. Then you can have someone with a large area, and all they need is light dusting, you know, maybe some floor action and certain, you know, pretty much surfaces and bathrooms. So you wouldn't charge them the same. Well, the way that I work is I don't charge them the same kind of rate. Now, since I'm going back into commercial, I have found, honestly, just being honest, since I'm kind of getting my feet wet, that I've kind of undercharged myself. So I wanted to know, is there a baseline or is there, you know, a basic structure on how I should charge? Should I charge per hour or per square footage? Or I'm so confused at how to charge my commercial clients. Could you help me out, please?
Sister, I wouldn't be here flapping my guns if I could. And that's a big topic. We talk about it a lot and it's important. So I'm glad that you brought it up. First of all, let me just touch on something that you mentioned with how you handle your commercial price or your residential pricing, because that concept's going to stay consistent through the commercial. First of all, I am not a big fan of kind of what I heard you say is like customized pricing. Like, well, this person has this kind of budget or this kind of need and this kind of whatever. So I'm going to talk and discuss with every single person and every time kind of reinvent the wheel and try and figure out what the right price is for this customer, this budget, this needs, if I like them, if I don't like them, square, all that sort of stuff. So what you want to do is create a system of how you generate your pricing, right? Could you imagine if you went into, you know, whatever store that there was, and every time they came in, they're like, well, and asked you a bunch of questions, they had to figure out, they've just got the prices there and you can take it or not, right? Or if you go to the gas station, they've got the gas and they've got three levels. There's the regular and the, you know, kind of mid-grade, and then there's the premium stuff. And if you want the premium, that you don't have to negotiate a price, they don't have to figure out a price. They've got it all set up. So you want to do the same thing with your pricing in two ways. One, you do want to offer different services. So I'm not saying one size fits all and you're going to say we only do deep clean, and if you don't want a deep clean, hit the bricks, or we only do light dusting, and if you want something deeper, hit the bricks. But you want to organize that once and for all at the beginning with, here's our pricing. And you might have, I really like good, better, best pricing. So when you go to a home, obviously, depending on the square footage and the frequency, the prices might go up or down a little bit, but you're not reinventing like what light dusting looks like or kind of creating a custom scope of work for every single customer. It makes a customer uncomfortable. It's a lot of work for you. And then you are open to some jobs are real profitable and some jobs are not. And you're not even making money on some, and that can really make it hard to run a business. So you want to get good, better, best pricing, where you identify right off the bat, here's our basic service, here's our mid-level service, and here's our premium service. And just by doing that, oftentimes, especially if your regular service is kind of the cheap one, just offering more expensive options, a lot of times people are going to take that, and that's where your margin is. So whether you're doing residential or commercial, you want to have your pricing set, your service level set, and you put people into one of those buckets. So when you go to bid, they feel like you know what you're talking about, as opposed to just, well, what do you want? And we'll do something custom. And I don't know. They want someone to be in charge. We have a nice pre-made sheet that looks nice and has graphics and is all laminated. And you kind of show them, here's good, better, best. Just like when you go to the car wash, right? If you want just the wash, it's $6. If you want to do the tires, it's $8. It makes it really easy for you to make a decision. But if they had a guy talking like, you know, sitting there with a checkboard going, do you want us to do your dash? What about the door jams? How about the tires? What about, you know, you're just gonna be like, I don't know. I thought you guys figured that out. I'm confused, right? And you're more likely to just go, forget it. I'll go somewhere else. So make sure you've got your good, better, best. Is that a good starting point?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I totally understand. It makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Okay. And good thing is that concept works in residential, it works in commercial, it works in cleaning, it works in other businesses. It's just that's just a good business concept. Second thing, I want to make sure, not just for you, but for Cleaning Nation, we kind of eliminate that, see what the market's doing, see what other people are charging. Because you did a good job in identifying that. You said, hey, right now I know I don't charge enough, right? I underbid sometimes, and that can really bite me in the butt. Looking to what other people are charging or trying to be the low bidder is a great way to get yourself on hot water and not charge enough money. So I'd never look around, because I quite frankly don't care what the market is doing, because it's weird how you'll bid different jobs, and sometimes everybody's super expensive and sometimes it's super cheap, and that's not what you want to do. So don't look at other people. You really just want to focus on what it takes you to make money. So what you want to do is figure, and I always like hourly. So people are going to tell you, oh, if it's a, you know, doctor's office, you should be able to clean 5,000 square feet an hour, two people. Those are just rules of thumbs and a great way to get you kind of caught. When you start building, you know, if you start bidding 200,000-400,000 square foot buildings, you might kind of start moving to those rules of thumbs. But if you're just building a regular medical office or doctor's office or whatever, you've got to figure out how many hours it's going to take for you to do it, what those hours are going to cost. That's your cost of goods sold. You're going to add overhead, and then you're going to add profit, and you're going to make sure there's a minimum of profit in every single job that you do. So that's kind of the big picture sweep on how to bid. Any questions or concerns?
No, you're making perfect sense to me. I'm just calculating it in my head.
Okay, let me give you a couple other quick things, and then we'll move on to the lightning round. First of all, remember it's a small number from them. A lot of times when people move from residential to commercial, they get scared and they seriously underbid their first couple jobs, because they, you know, with residential, they'll say, hey, this is gonna be $300 a month. And the, you know, person they're talking to might say something, oh my gosh, that's a ton of money, and I don't know. And then you as a human being, you're going, yeah, $300 a month does sound like a lot. And we kind of get up in our head about what a good deal is and what a good deal is not. With commercial, you're in a totally different conversation. Most of these people aren't looking at it like you and I would look at it. So when you've got a $1,500 bid or a $4,000 a month bid, that sounds like so much money, and we get scared and nervous, and we don't want to lose such a quote unquote a big job. So we just bid it for nothing. And then we end up finding out, wow, it's costing us $300 a month to do all this work for them.
Right.
You got to remember, they're not looking at it as like a homeowner might look at it. Well, $300 a month, I could get a car payment for that, or, you know, whatever. These guys are just looking at it as a line on their profit and loss, right? They're just, you know, they've got rent and they've got insurance and they've got, you know, on and on and on. And usually cleaning is going to be like less than 1% or 1 or 2% of their whole budget. So if you've got a $4,000 a month cleaning bill, their whole budget's probably $1 million a month. It means nothing to them. So just, you've got to put yourself in the customer's shoes and not look at that $2,000 a month or whatever the bid comes out is what you would pay or what that is in your world. You've got to look at it from the consumer's point of view, and they're just looking at it as a line item on their expense sheet. Does that help kind of set your mind and not help you not be so, you know, I don't want to say scared, but take some of the fear away?
Yes, it does. Actually, I just did a walkthrough with a potential client, and he's it's like maybe he was sensing that feeling coming off of me. If he's like, okay, well, when you give me the quote, do not underbid yourself. If you overbid, I can work with your numbers. We can negotiate, but never underbid yourself. I mean, he said it like 3 times while we were doing a walkthrough because I think he felt it coming off of me. Like, oh my God.
All right. So you brought up, it's almost like we talked before to set this up, because that's exactly the next thing I want to talk about, or the last thing I want to talk about before I hit the lightning round. And that's, first of all, that's a really good indicator, because really what you want to do is, gosh, all right, this is such a big concept, and you were, and I love when people are doing, you didn't even know you were doing it, but you were doing it. So what you don't want to do, what most people do, is I'm going to go in, I'm going to seem super professional, I'm act like I know everything, because I don't want them to think I don't know it, so I'm going to kind of act like a know-it-all, and then I'm going to give them a bid, and then if they complain or say it's too expensive, I'm going to start justifying why they should pay the price. And that's a really, not only is it a frustrating endeavor, it's not effective at all. The right way you want to do it is, so what they do is basically they get the wrong information from the customer. All they want to talk about is things like, well, how often do you want cleaned, and how often do you want me to do just the pathways and the vacuuming, and how often do you want me to do wall to wall, and when do you want these windows done, and how many square feet? That's all that they want to talk about. Well, the customer's not interested in, and it's really not the most important. It's the least important part of the bid. What you should be doing is going in and talking about their pain, what keeps them up at night, what stresses them out, what makes them crazy. Why are they paying a cleaner in the first place? I promise you, it's not because they're afraid the trash is going to back up or their place is going to get dirty. It's going to be something like, if our place looks bad, we feel ashamed to come in. The employees don't want to come in. We're a law office and we charge $500 an hour. And if our place is all shabby, no one's going to pay that. See, as I'm saying, the difference between I'm taking out the trash, which nobody cares about, and people are going to perceive us as low rent. That's a huge difference in pain. So stop talking about number of toilets and square feet and start listening and asking questions about their pain. That's the first thing. Yeah. So that's huge. If you just do that, you're going to be better than 90% of the people that you bid against. The second thing is, before you give them a bid, you need to have the budget conversation. So many people do that wrong. They have no idea what this person's budget is. And the guy's thinking it's going to be say he's got a budget of $5,000 a month. I'll just make it up. You come in at $1,500. I guarantee you've lost that job. There's no way that he's not going to go, hey, I just saved $3,500. He's going to go, this lady has no clue what she's doing, and I wouldn't trust her with the key to my office for all the money in the world. That's exactly what just happened in his mind. Now you come in at $9,000, you just lost the job. He's going to go, I'm not going to pay an extra $4,000. I love, you know, Kishwar is awesome, but I'm not going to pay an extra $4,000 for this lady. She ain't that great. I love your laugh, girl. You're making me have fun. So everybody goes out and they give the bid, and then they go, when the guy's like, no, we're not going to go with you, they'll go, why not? Well, you're too expensive. And they'll never tell you you're too cheap, right? No one will say that. They'll just say they didn't think you did a good job. So you don't know. Find out what their budget is at the beginning. Then when you present the budget, you already know get the answers to the test before you take the test, right? So if the budget's $5,000, you can go in, and now when you're making good, better, and best, and if it's a $5,000 a month project for commercial, you can do, those are custom bids, right? When I said have your pricing all done out, that's for residential when it's like, you know, it's, you know, $100 a cleaning or $150 or, you know, the little numbers. When it's a $5,000 a month deal, you're going to do a custom bid. But now when you give the good, better, best, you can make the good the $5,000. Right. So you say his thing's 5,000 and you're like, I would have bid 8,000. There's no way I can get that done for $5,000. Well, what you're going to do is you're going to put the good level. You're just going to start stripping stuff down. Like, hey, we're only going to dust once every, you know, 2 weeks. You just keep stripping the services down. So the good number at least fits their budget. The better number, you can say, hey, this is what I recommend. And it might be $6,500. And I know that's over your budget, but I wanted to make sure, since you talked about their pain, you want to make sure that you solve their pain. But at least you've got so much information going in that you can give them a bid that A, is in their budget, and B, you're going to be upfront and clear. Hey, because a lot of times what will happen is you'll just say, well, it's $5,000. I think it's a $6,000 job, but I don't want to lose it. So I'll do it for $5,000, and you lose money. This will at least protect you in that you're going to be very clear of, hey, this is all you get for $5,000. You don't get the premium gasoline. You get the base gasoline. If your car runs a little chuggy, well, that's the $5,000 package. So we could go on and on. But long story short, get the bid and the pain. That's what you talk about in the meeting. And I think I've done the whole podcast on this, so you can kind of go check for them. But don't talk. I mean, obviously spend a little bit of time on square footage and number of toilets and all that. But the bulk of your time is listening about pain and understanding their budget. So that's a ton. I went real fast. Any questions before we hit the lightning round, sister?
You know what? You answered every question that I had, and that was awesome. I'm so glad that I did this.
I actually answered a couple questions you didn't even ask, so sorry about that. I kind of got a little chatty on you.
I don't mind at all. I'm a great listener. I'm learning.
Yes, you are. I'm having all sorts of fun. All right, sister, let's turn this around. Enough of me talking. Let's have some of you sharing with Clean Nation what's going on in your world. Lightning round, three quick questions, three fantastic answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received in business and life? We're listening.
Well, you know what? The best piece of advice that came to mind is talking with my mother. And this can be applied towards business or personal. She told me to stop putting higher expectations on other people than I do myself. So I can't expect other people to do, you know, these wonderful, fabulous things if I'm not, you know, turning the magnifying glass on myself. I should be the only person that I have these high expectations for because I have no control over anyone else. So that was the best piece of advice that I've ever gotten.
Haven't met your mom, but I like her already. That's good advice. I got to take that advice because I'm so guilty of that. All right, question number two. What's the biggest mistake you made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from?
Let's see. The biggest one, I'll say two. There's two things. Of course, it was underbidding and just doing a whole lot of work. And it turned out, it's like as the hours were clicking down, I start seeing my hourly start to go down and down, and it became frustrating, and it wasn't even worth it. So one was underbidding or not researching and finding out, you know, just like I'm so glad that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad that I called in today is because now I understand why I was getting caught up like that. The second biggest mistake was not researching or not understanding what type of chemicals I was working with, because I've kind of accidentally stained something before, and that was way long time ago. So now when I use a product, I get a product and I test it out way before it goes into a client's either home or their office, so I know what that product does. So I do my research on my chemicals now.
Yeah, and we've talked about this on other podcasts. A good relationship with your janitorial supply company can help you a ton with that. So instead of just trying to buy something from Costco and figure it out, you can talk to real professionals that represent the companies and know what they're doing. So that's good advice. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation could put into practice today before they go to bed that will improve their lives or their business?
Let's see. What can they put into practice? Oh, being organized. Please set your timers. I mean, everyone has a smartphone. Get in that thing and use it. Please do set your alarms, use your Google Calendar. Just that would just take so much off of trying to remember everything and open up so much more, space in your head to be able to, you know, conquer other things or make new business agreements and things of that nature. So my best, the best thing that I can advise is allow your devices to manage your time. Just stay on top of them and make sure that they're programmed properly so you can free up your brain for more creative and also business endeavors.
Man, I can't imagine anyone's going to argue with being organized. Fine feedback. Kishwar, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Kishwar's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. We will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.